Chapter 3. A Journey to Devon. Holmes and I walked to the Northumberland Hotel for lunch with Sir Henry Baskerville. He was waiting for us, and he showed us an old black boot.
"They've stolen another boot!" he shouted angrily. "First, they took a new brown boot. Now, they've taken an old black one."
"But I'm sorry, Mr. Holmes, this isn't important."
"It may be important, Sir Henry," said Holmes. "It explains something. I don't understand it yet, but each little thing helps to give us a bigger picture. But do you still plan to go to Baskerville Hall?"
"Yes, I'm going on Saturday."
"That's a good idea. We know that someone is following you in London, and I can't watch everyone in an enormous city. You may be safer at Baskerville Hall because there aren't many neighbours. Dr. Mortimer, did you know that a man was following you and Sir Henry yesterday?"
"No."
"This man has a black beard. Are there any neighbours on Dartmoor with a black beard?"
"Barrymore, the servant at Baskerville Hall, has a black beard," Dr. Mortimer replied. "But he's in Devon now, I'm sure. His father and grandfather worked at the Hall too. They're a good family, and we can trust him."
"Did Barrymore get any money when Sir Charles died?" asked Holmes.
"Yes," said Mortimer.
"He and his wife got £500 each."
"Interesting," said Holmes.
"But Sir Charles left money to other people too. He left me £1,000, said Mortimer. "I hope that I'm not a suspect."
"And how much money goes to Sir Henry?" asked Holmes.
"Nearly £1,000,000, answered Mortimer.
"I see," said Holmes.
"Sir Charles was very rich. And, I'm sorry to ask this question, but it's very important. If Sir Henry dies, who will inherit this money?"
"Roger Baskerville, Sir Charles's youngest brother, is dead. He never married, and he had no children," said Mortimer. "There's a third cousin in the north of England. Not many people know about him, but because Sir Roger had no children, this third cousin will inherit everything. But I met him once, and I know that he doesn't want Baskerville Hall or any money."
"Sir Henry," said Holmes, "you should go to Devon on Saturday, but you mustn't go alone. I'd like to go with you, but I've got important work in London. Watson, can you go with Sir Henry?"
This was a surprise, but I'm always ready for an adventure. I was also happy that Holmes trusted me.
"Of course," I answered.
On Saturday morning, Holmes came to the train station with me. "I want you to visit all the neighbours of Baskerville Hall," he said. "I trust Dr. Mortimer, and I think that we can trust the old cousin in the north of England. One of the neighbours is our suspect. Visit them all and write to me about them."
"What about the Barrymores? Do we send them away from the Hall?" I asked.
"No. They're suspects, of course, but there are other suspects. Do you have your gun?"
"Yes."
"You may need it.
Keep it with you all the time.
Dr. Mortimer and Sir Henry were waiting for us at the station.
"Do you have any news?" asked Holmes.
"No one has followed us," said Mortimer. "We've watched everyone carefully."
"One thing," said Sir Henry. "I've found my new brown boot."
"Have you found the old black one?" asked Holmes.
"No."
"Interesting," said Holmes.
"Well, goodbye and have a good journey. And don't forget to write to me, Watson."
The train travelled to Devon, and Sir Henry, Dr. Mortimer and I talked and watched the hills and fields out of the window. After 3 or 4 hours, we were crossing Dartmoor. We got out at a small station, and I was surprised to see policemen there.
"Why are the police here?" I asked.
"A man has escaped from the prison at Princetown," said Mortimer. "He's Selden, the murderer, a very dangerous man. He's on the moor, and people are very frightened."
We drove in a carriage across the wild, empty moor. In the evening light, I saw nothing but hills, rocks, and a few small trees. The police stopped us on the road, and they looked at us carefully. After half an hour, Dr. Mortimer pointed out of the window.
"That house is Baskerville Hall," he told me.
I saw a large old house. It was alone on the moor, with no houses near. Dr. Mortimer went home to his wife, and Sir Henry and I went into Baskerville Hall. Mr. and Mrs. Barrymore came to the front door to meet us. Mr. Barrymore was a tall man with a large beard. Mrs. Barrymore was a small, friendly woman.
"Welcome to Baskerville Hall, Sir Henry," said Mr. Barrymore. "Would you like dinner now?"
"Yes, please," answered Sir Henry.
Inside, the hall was a dark, unhappy place. The rooms were high, and there were pictures of Sir Hugo and the other Baskervilles on the wall. Everything felt old and sad. We talked a little at dinner, but I was happy to go to bed. Before I went to sleep, I looked out of the window at the moor. There were rocks and a few trees, but no houses. Under the cold moon, it was a sad, empty place. I did not sleep well. The house was very quiet, but in the middle of the night, I heard a strange noise. It sounded like a woman, and she was crying. I was sure that the noise came from inside the house. Then the crying stopped. I listened for half an hour, but I did not hear it again.